It says Daf is Daf Mem. So we are continuing. I read somewhere that this is the only two Daf in all of Maseches Erevin that actually mention Rosh Hashanah. These two Daf, yesterday's Daf, today's Daf. So it's a nice little connection to Rosh Hashanah. So we got to the last two lines of Lamed Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Amar of Ashi. So they were talking about yesterday where they had brought a deer and Rosh Hashanah refused to eat it. And the concern was it was caught on day one and it was shechted on day two and the issue of Shtei Kedushos and Hachana and all of that. The Gemara now says that Amar of Ashi, last two lines again of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, that Amar of Ashi li didi, Amar li, to me, Rav Ashi said it was reported, that Meimar, Hahu bar Tavya laf, it's tutsit. It wasn't an issue of being caught. It wasn't that a malach of tzad was performed on Yantav Rishon. That was not the issue, Ella. It was a completely different topic, which we touched upon a little bit. We'll learn more about this in the Masechta. El Michutz L'Tchum, also came from outside the Tchum. And this deer was brought outside the Tchum. It's a violation of Tchum, and it's usher to eat. So the Gemara says, Man da'acha, those who ate from this deer, Savar haba b'shvil Yisrael zeh, mutil Yisrael acher. That if you bring something out of the Tchum, although it's also for whom it was brought for, it's permitted for someone else. Another Yid can eat it. So even though it was brought for the Reish Galusa, the others were allowed to eat it because they were not part of the initial recipient. However, Man de Loach, the one, in other words, Rav Sheshes, who did not eat, why did he refuse to eat if it came from outside the Tchum? Because he held, Savar kol de'asu lebei Reish Galusa, anything that's brought to the house of Reish Galusa was brought adai to lekula rabbanan, asi, is brought for everyone. Every Talmid Chacham that was in the house, in the palace, in the mansion, whatever it was brought the das for all of them, and therefore they were included in the Isser. So Rav Sheshes did not eat, so that was the Machlokas. And that which the Gemara had said yesterday's daf, that v'ha ashkecha Rav Sheshes l'Rabba Bar Shmuel, that whole dialogue, Rav Sheshes and Rabba Bar Shmuel talking about something that was done on day one, is day two, which sounded like the conversation was describing what happened in the Reish Galusa's house, that it was not about Tchum, it was actually about that which was caught, sawed on day one, Amalei lo hayu dvar me'olam. That conversation actually never happened, and the real report of the story was it was an issue of Tchum, not an issue of Anissim Lacha on day one, carried over to day two. So that ends yesterday's conversation. So Gemara now says, "Hahu lifsa de asi lemechuza." Now, certain lifsa, what is it? What's a lifsa? I always forget the English. Turnip. A turnip that was brought lemechuza to the city. Nafik Rava chazer de kamisha. Rava saw that it was a little withered or something. It was a little old. And Shari Rava lemizban minay. He allowed you to buy it. So Amar Havadai me'esmal na'akara, it was brought from yesterday. It was brought from Erev Yontif. The fact that I see it's a little dried out now, it must have been picked from the ground yesterday. So it's not a violation of muksa. So my Amris, michutz l'tchum asya, but it came from outside the tchum. So even though it was picked from yesterday, there was no malacha, but still it came from outside the tchum on today. So the Gemara says, haba b'shul Yisrael zeh, mutter l'echel Yisrael acher. So it was brought for one Jew, so that Jew can't have it, but another Jew is allowed to have it. The Kol Shekein, certainly in this case, Haida Daiti Denachem Asa. They brought the produce for Nachem, for the Goyim who live here. So they didn't bring it from me. They brought it from the Goyim who live in this town. So certainly in that case, you'd be able to eat from it. However, once they saw Kaven de Chaza de Kamafshi Umaishilhu Asalu, but then he saw, they started realizing, they started bringing more produce to sell to the Jews, and it became clear they were actually bringing it with the intent of selling it to the Jews, or giving it to the Jews, and therefore he said it's Asr at this point. But when he had thought it was only brought for the Das of the Nachim, then you'd allow to have something that comes Bami Chutz L'Tchum. So this becomes very relevant, actually, if you get like an Amazon package or mail or things of that sort, it comes Chutz L'Tchum, and it's going to come for you. It's Asr to have Hana from that. But the understanding now, the post, Mishnah Berurah writes that when the delivery man brings it, he's not bringing it for you. He's bringing it for himself. He has a job to do. So he's fulfilling his job, not for me. I didn't ask him to do me a tova. He gets paid by UPS, FedEx, whoever sends him, and he's doing it for himself. So that which comes from outside that tchum is not really, in most cases nowadays, is not really subject to an iser. There's an interesting Tosos here. If you look at Tosos Dimaschal, Daita de Kula Rabbanan Kasu, the Machlokas we addressed before that, if something's brought to the house of Reish Galusa, is it brought only for the Reish Galusa, or is it brought a Daita de Kula Rabbanan? So just an interesting Derech HaPsak, if you look at Tosos, Nira Livritzba, the Hachi Halichasa, the Kaimlan Kerav Sheshes, we pass like Rav Sheshes, Klapi Rav Nachman, that which is brought to the Reish Galusa is brought adaita the Kula Derabanam. Now, although this is not really no get to us, but still the approach of the halacha is what's interesting to me, that we pass like Rav Sheshes over Rav Nachman, be Isur. When it comes to the world of Isur, we always choose Rav Sheshes over Rav Nachman, u Klapi Rav Chista, nami Hilchasa, Kavase, and even when Rav Sheshet against Rav Chista as well. Because remember, Rav Nachman and Rav Chista ate from the food that was brought to Reish Galusa, Rav Sheshet didn't. So we passed Rav Sheshet against Rav Nachman, and we also passed Rav Sheshet against Rav Chista. Deshaya Gadol Mimenu, that Rav Sheshet was greater than Rav Chista. Kedash Kachan Mekama Duchta, we find in many places in Shas, by Rav Chista, may Rav Sheshet. Rav Chista was always asking questions to Rav Sheshet, which indicates Rav Sheshet was a greater Gadol than Rav Chista. Uper Kadar, which is a later parak in the Masechta, Nami Amar, Rav Chista, Rav Sheshet, there was a two of them, they would say about each other, Kavapagu Hadadi, when they meet each other, Rav Chista, Mirsa Svavase, his lips would shed, would shiver, Mimasnisin, the Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet would bring a Mishnah, a Brisa from somewhere, Rav Chista would tremble. Rav Sheshet, Mirsa Kule Gufa Mipupule, Rav Chista. Rav Sheshet would tremble, he'd be in fear because the sharpness, the analysis of Rav Chista. So we see each one had something greater. Rav Sheshet was more like what's called Sinai, he knew all of Shas, and then Rav Chista was more Okaharim, he was a great Lamdim. And Amar Basof Horios, the end of Maseches Horios tells us, Sinai V'Oker Harim, which is better? Sinai Adif, that one who has a vast amount of knowledge of all Shas, he's better. So therefore, since Rav Sheshet is Sinai, we paskin like Rav Sheshet over Rav Chista. Again, which is very interesting, just the different relationships between the different Amorim. Okay, back inside now. The Gemara says that Hanu b'nei Ganana de Gazulu Asa b'yamtif Sheni. So these people, these gardeners, and Rashi points out that these gardeners were not Jew. Actually, Rashi points out they used to make like chuppas. They use hadassah to make chuppas. But non-Jewish gardeners or chuppah makers, if they cut the hadassim, ases hadassim, they cut hadassim on yamtiv sheni. So laurta that night, matzah yamtiv sheni, sharulu ravina laruche bay laalter. Ravina allowed you to smell them after Shabbos, after yamtiv. Now on yamtiv itself, you can't because they did a malacha, they cut it. But after yamtiv, when it's a longer yamtiv, you're allowed to immediately smell the hadassim. So Amalei Rava says, Bar Tachlifa le Ravina, he says to Ravina, Leiser lo mar, you should asher them from smelling these hadassim. Mipnei she'enem b'nei Torah, they're not b'nei Torah. And the concern was, if you allow them to start smelling these hadassim after Yantav Sheni, they're going to start being mezazel Yantav Sheni itself, and since they don't know any better, they're in b'nei Torah, the Am Haaretz, you should not let them use them. Make a gzera, don't let them smell these hadassim at all. That was a suggestion that was presented by Rava Bar Tachlifa. So Gemara now says, Maskevla Rav Shmaya. Rav Shmaya now makes the following diuk. Taima de'inam b'nei Torah, only because they were not b'nei Torah, was the suggestion that they shouldn't smell from the hadassim even after Yontif is over. Ha b'nei Torah sharu. But if they were b'nei Torah, he would have permitted them, Rava Bar Tachlifa would have been completely comfortable saying that you could smell the hadassim right after Yontif. But how could you smell them right after Yontif? There's a concept in halacha that when a malacha is performed on Shabbos, you can't get hana immediately after Shabbos is over. You have to wait the amount of time of kadesh yasu, how long it takes to make it. In other words, let's say a goy cooks on Shabbos. Well, cooking isn't a great example because bishakum. But let's say a goy, I don't know what he does. He cuts hadassim. So he cuts hadassim. So the din is that you can't benefit from it until you wait the amount of time it takes to cut hadassim. So let's say it takes 5 minutes to cut hadassim off the ground. So when Matzah Shabbos is over, you need to wait 5 minutes afterwards as a kanas until you can actually get hana. So how could Ravina suggest to smell the hadassim immediately? You have to wait the few minutes it takes to cut it and then wait that time to get hana from it. And the Gemara says, you're right, Eina Hanami. Azu Shaila the Rava. They asked Rava, how could you allow to cut it right away? To smell it right away. They paskin, you can't immediately smell the hadassim. Rather, you have to wait, again, the amount of time of b'chdei she'asu. So Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah yesterday's daf, that Rabbi Dosa omer ha'over l'fnei ha'teva, we had this discussion, Rabbi Dosa says, on Rosh Hashanah, you should mention Rosh Chodesh, it's also Rosh Chodesh, and you should also make a tanai, that if today's Rosh Hashanah, tomorrow's not. And if yesterday was, today isn't. Some tanai of that sort. And the Mishnah had said that Chacham argued, and this is lo hodulo. So we weren't sure what lo hodulo means. The Gemara is about to address that point. So Amar Rabba ki avinim bei Rav Huna. When I was in the house of the Beis Medrash of Rav Huna, Ibailu, they asked the question, Ma'u lahazgir she Rosh Chodesh b'Rosh Hashanah? Should you mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah? Kevan de chalukin b'musafim amrinin, since there's a separate musaf of Rosh Chodesh than that of Rosh Hashanah, so you should mention both of them. Oh, Dilmar, perhaps Zikaron Echad, Ola Lakan Lakan, they're both called Zikaron, right? Yom Zikaron, they're both, the Torah refers to Rosh Chodesh as a Yom Zichron, just like Rosh Hashanah is. If you look at Rashi around 10 narrow lines down, it says Zikaron Echad, as Yom HaZikaron Hazeh, Rachmana karya zikaron dichsev zichron shura. Ubrosh chodesh namiksev ahiyu lehem li zikaron. So both Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh are called Zikaron. So maybe saying one Zikaron is sufficient to imply both these days, and you don't have to mention them separately. That was the shayla that was posed in the base medrash of Rav Huna. So Amar Lan, Rav Huna responded back, Tanisua, we have in the Mishnah, here in Daf Lamed Tes and Erevin, from yesterday's Daf, Rabbi Dosa Omer HaOver Lefnei HaTeva V'chul, that you have to mention Rosh Chodesh, and you also have to make the Tanai. And the Chachamim argued and says not, My Lav Lahaskir, when Chachamim say, we don't agree with you, does that mean they don't agree that you shouldn't mention anything at all? Chachamim says, we don't mention Rosh Chodesh at all, Rosh Hashanah. So we see, don't mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says, no, lo, lehasnos. What he said, the argument was, don't make a Tanai. But Chachamim say, of course you mention Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah. Just don't make the Tanai. If today was Rosh Hashanah, tomorrow's not, don't make the Tanai. But you can mention Rosh Chodesh. And Hachanami Mestaver, it's also very sensible to say that Chachamim agree that you say Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, you just don't make the Tanai. Mitikatani, the Brisa, there's a Brisa that adds further onto the Mishnah. V'chein haya Rabbi Dosa Ose B'Rosh Chodeshim Shekol Hashanah. Not Rosh Hashanah, but every Rosh Chodesh of the year, Rabbi Dosa said the same thing. Kol Hashanah Kula, you do what he had said in the Mishnah. V'lo Hodulo, and Chachamim didn't agree on a regular Rosh Chodesh. What didn't they agree to? Iyamis, if you mean Bishama Lisanos, they said you don't make a Tanai, Mishum Hachi Lo Hodulo. That's why they didn't agree. Just like you don't make a Tanai when you mention Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, you also don't mention a Tanai when you mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Chodesh itself. El Iyamis, if you're going to say Lahazkir, that they're arguing you don't even mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Chodesh, in a regular Rosh Chodesh Elul or Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you don't mention Rosh Chodesh, Amai Lo Hodulo. Why would the Chacham not agree? Of course you mention Rosh Chodesh on a regular Rosh Chodesh. So Elamai must be my Lisanos. When it comes to making a Tanai, that's where they argue, don't make a Tanai. But in terms of mentioning Rosh Chodesh, certainly you may mention Rosh Chodesh on a regular Rosh Chodesh, but even on Rosh Hashanah, one would mention Rosh Chodesh as well. So the Gemara then says, so Lamuli Lafluge Betartis, how can we have to separate these two statements of mentioning Rosh Chodesh, the debate between Rabbi Dosa and Chachamim about Rosh Chodesh, mentioning it by Rosh Hashanah and also by a regular Rosh Chodesh? Rather, I'm saying a Tanai, Tanai in Rosh Hashanah, and also repeat that you don't make a Tanai on Rosh Chodesh. Why the debating in both places? Just mention in one place. So Gemara says, Tzvichi, because the Ashmin in Rosh Hashanah, had you mentioned this machlok is about Tanai, not to mention a Tanai in Rosh Hashanah, or yes, whether to use it or not, Havamina, Bahak Ami Rabbanan. Maybe only there the Rabbanan advise not making a Tanai on Rosh Hashanah. Delo, Mishum Da'asi Lizazulebe. We don't want there to be Rosh Hashanah to be a whole joke. You have 2 days of Yantif, and they start saying, well, the Chaz is making a Tanai, the whole thing's a joke. We want people to take both days of very, very serious as 2 days of Yantif. Avab Rosh Chodashim, Shekol Hashanah, 2 days Rosh Chodesh, making a Tanai, Kula Eima Modi Leder Dosa, they agreed to Radosa because there's no Zilzel. There's no like Kedushas Rosh Chodesh, there's no Molacha. So, okay, you make a Tanai, it's not going to change anyone's way of acting. So, therefore, there maybe Rabban will allow you to mention a Tanai on a Stam Rosh Chodesh. So, that's what we have to say, even by Rosh Chodesh, Rabban say, don't mention the Tanai, it's going to be a whole Zilzel of the Rosh Chodesh. V'itmar, if you're going to say, Baha, maybe in this case, by the case of Rosh Chodesh, Baha come Rabbi Dosa. That's where Rabbi Dosa allows you to make a Tanai, but Rosh Chodesh, because there's not so much a risk there. Aval Baha, by the case of Rosh Hashanah, to mention a Tanai, maybe Eima Modi Lahul Rabbanan, maybe Rabbi Dosa agrees to Rabbanan, don't make a Tanai, because if you make a Tanai, they're going to make the whole thing a joke. Tzicha, that even by Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Dosa Paskins, you should mention the Tanai. So if you look at Tosfos in the bottom here, last year, Maskil Zikaron Echa Le'ola, he talks about Lamaisa, should you mention Rosh Chodesh during Rosh Hashanah or not? So he brings a number of different opinions here. So one opinion he says, we say in the Musaf, Milvan Olas HaChodesh U'minchasa, aside from the Chodesh U'minchasa, that's the implication of the mention of Rosh Chodesh. That's what the first one day is. If you look 4 lines up now, V'yesh Ge'onim, 4 lines from the bottom of that Tosfos, V'yesh Ge'onim, he writes, Kadmonim, the earlier Gaonim, She'ein Manichin Lomar Rosh Chodeshim, we don't allow you to mention it in Rosh Hashanah. Delo Lesi Lizazule Bimoados, V'yamin Tovim Shah Rosh Hashanah, because they can start being Mezazel Lemoed and Yantif, Diomar Yom Sheni Iker. We know you can't mention Rosh Chodesh on day one. Rosh Hashanah now is different than back then. Back then, if you had a 2 day Rosh Hashanah, the first day was actually Lamed Elul, and the second day was Aleph Tishrei, different than what we have nowadays. And there'd be like a break before Tzemach Gedalia. So if you mention Rosh Chodesh, you can't mention Rosh Chodesh on Lamed El, the first day, because it's not really Rosh Chodesh. You'd only mention it on day 2 Rosh Hashanah, which is Aleph Tishrei. Now you're going to start saying, oh, wait a second, we're only mentioning Rosh Chodesh on day 2. That means yesterday was a whole joke, and then throw everything away, so don't mention Rosh Chodesh at all, according to the Gaonim. And because they're going to say again, the Yomru Yom Sheni Iker, Kamo Rashi Chadashim, Kol Shana, just like every other day, the second day Rosh Chodesh is the Iker one, so we're not going to mention Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah. V'asi l'mimne ma'adas miyom sheni, they can start counting from day two. V'ein nearly, the Reed doesn't think this way. He says, Kul shmaisa leka d'chash lahay zilzula, we're not concerned with the zilzula at all. U'ba'aruch berech chodesh ezehu chag shechodesh miskasebo, when it says which month is the month hidden, it's a reference usually to the moon, that the moon's hidden because you can't see the moon on the first day. It's the only yantif where you can't see the moon, because every other yantif is either vav zayin for Shavuos, and then tes vav for the Sukkot and Pesach. But what's the month? Chodesh miskasebo. Havi omer zeh rosh chodesh. Rather, Rosh Shana. She'ein omer rosh chajechem lo betfila lo velo bezulasa. In other words, what's hidden? Rosh Shana. We hide rosh chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. That's what the pasuk is referring to. So either way, there are different opinions whether you should mention rosh chodesh halach lemaisa or we don't mention rosh chodesh. Okay, last two lines here on Amud Aleph. The Gemara says meisive. Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos, if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos like this year, B'Shami Omrim Mispal Eser, you daven two brachas, U'Beisil Omrim Mispal Teisha, you daven nine brachas. What are the 9 and 10 brachas? So Rashi says, Mispal Eser, we have the three brachas in the beginning, and the three brachas at the end, those are always the same, those are 6. Then you have Shabbos in the middle, which is a 7th bracha, and then you have to mention the Malchios, Zichronos, V'Shofros, which are another 3. That gives you a total of 10 brachas we're going to be saying tomorrow, according to Beis Shammai. And when it comes to the bracha of Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah, you call that with Malchios. So Malchios has Kedushas Hayom, that's the 1 bracha, Zichronos is the 2nd one, Shofros is the 3rd, so there's a 3, in addition to the 7 brachas we do normally for Shabbos, that's 10. According to Beis Hillel, we only have 9 brachas. You lump together Shabbos and Yom Tov all as 1, so you really only have 9 brachas. So that's the machlokas. So the Gemara says now, Vim Isa Beis Shammai, if you really hold that you have to mention Rosh Chodesh separately, so Beis Shammai, Achadashim Yibayla, there should really be 11 brachas. There should be another bracha special for Rosh Chodesh, because again, Beis Shammai holds there's a special bracha for Shabbos, there's a special bracha for Rosh Hashanah, and it should also require a special bracha for Rosh Chodesh, for each day requires its own, not for Beis Hillel. Because Beis Hillel puts Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah together, so throw Rosh Chodesh in there as well. But for Beis Shammai, who separates between Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, you should have yet another one for Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says on the top here, Amar Rebbe Zeira, Shiny Rosh Chodesh, Mita Rosh Chodesh is different. In other words, we don't have to have a separate bracha for Rosh Chodesh. Mitoch Shekolo L'Shachris V'Arvis, Kol Amim B'Musafim. We know, on a regular Rosh Chodesh, Shachris, we don't have a separate bracha during Shmoneh Esrei. We put Ya'alev Yavo as in the middle of Ritzeh, but not as a separate bracha. We don't have a 19th or 20th bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. So just like in Shachris and Ma'ariv and Mincha, we don't have a separate bracha of Rosh Chodesh, so too on a Musaf, even though it's a Musaf Rosh Hashanah, we don't have a special Rosh Chodesh bracha. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Does Beis Shammai allow kolo? Does he allow you to lump together different Kedushas Hayoms? Va'atani, doesn't the Brisa teach us that Rosh Chodesh Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, not Rosh Hashanah, just the regular Rosh Chodesh, forget Rosh Hashanah right now. Rosh Chodesh Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, Beis Shammai Omer Mispal Shmoni, Daven 8. 7 of a normal Shabbos, and even 8th Bracha Rosh Chodesh, we see he doesn't lump together Rosh Chodesh with Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh stands alone as a separate bracha. So too Rosh Hashanah, it should stand alone as a separate bracha. Just to finish the Braisa, Beis Hillel Omrim Mispal B'Sheva, because he holds you can lump together the different Kedushas Yom. Either way, it's a kasha, the Gemara is a kasha, because we see clearly Beis Shammai does allow Rosh Chodesh to have a standalone bracha, so why doesn't he have 11 brachas on the Rosh Hashanah, Shechalos B'Shabbos? The Gemara ends up as a kasha. We're not so conservative because it's Beis Shammai, we don't pass like him anyways, but the Gemara was still trying to entertain his position. Eventually we will. Then the Gemara said, we don't have to know any kashas at that point either. All the kashas will be answered. So then the Gemara says, V'kolel atzmo tanahi. This concept of being kolel, the different kedushas ayom, together in itself is machlokas in the Braisa. So the Tani, the Braisa teaches us that Shabbos shechal yos b'rosh chodesh. Oh, b'chol shemoit. If Shabbos coincides with either Rosh Chodesh or coincides with Chol Hamoed, Arvis Shachris U'mincha Mispal Kedarcho Sheva. You daven the regular 7 brachos of a Shabbos. V'omer me'ein ha'ma'or b'avoda. And you mention Ya'alev Yavo in Ritzeh like we do. That's the psak. Ya'alev Yavo of Rosh Chodesh or Ya'alev Yavo of Chol Hamoed. And it's a regular Shabbos davening. There's no extra bracha. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Boda, he says you all mention modim. We don't pass this way. Like we mentioned Al Anisim modim. He felt even Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed should be in modim as well. V'mlo Amar, if you don't say Ya'alev Yavo, Machsin, also you have to go back and repeat it. Uvim Musafim, Maschi b'Shabbos u'Mesayim b'Shel Shabbos v'Maktusha Yom be'Emsa. So according to the Tanakhama, you mention Shabbos at the beginning, you mention Shabbos at the end. This is talking about Musaf Shabbos, and you mention Kedushas Yom in the middle someplace, and then in the fine. I know one second here. And then if you look at Rashi just for a second, Rashi says, U'Mesayim b'Shel Shabbos, around five now lines up, Rashi says, U'Mesayim b'Shel Shabbos, Mekadesh Shabbos v'Sulo, you don't mention the Rosh Chodesh Shel Chol U'Mil b'Musafin b'Emsa Bracha hu Nichlal. Aval v'Shachris v'Arvis Eino Nichlal afil b'Emsa v'Hai Tanel Lesei Kol v'Shachris v'Arvis. So what comes out from here is a Musaf, although a Musaf we would lump together, Musaf of Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos together, in Shachris and Musaf the implication is that you mention a separate bracha of Rosh Chodesh, aside from Shabbos, which we don't hold of kolo. That's what the Gemara is trying to learn from here. While comes along Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, back inside the Gemara now, for Rabbi Yishmael, Benosha, Rabbi Yochum, and Broka, Omrim, they say, Kol Malkum Shizakuk L'Sheva, Maske B'Shabbos, Messiah B'Shabbos, whatever the seven, you start with the Shabbos, you end the Shabbos, Romer Kedusha Yom B'Emsa, and you have Kedusha Yom in the middle here. So Gemara thinks here that this machlok is here, they're discussing whether or not by Shachris or Musaf, rather Shachris and Marv, whether or not you have to have Rosh Chodesh as a separate bracha, or Rosh Chodesh gets lumped together with Shabbos as a Me'ein Hamor. That's this debate, and the Gemara says it's a machlokas tonight. So Gemara now says, in the end of the day, my havola. What's the bottom line? How do we paskin here? Do we mention Rosh Chodesh, or do we not mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah? And the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Chista, Zikaron Echad, one Zikaron is Ola Lo Lakan, Ulakan. It works both for Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh. You don't have to mention Rosh Chodesh separately. And V'chein Amar Rabba, Zikaron Echad, Ola Lo, Lakan, Ulakan. It works for both. So by mentioning simply Zichron Shur, or any Zichronos, any type of Zikaron, that again implies not only Rosh Hashanah, but also implies Rosh Chodesh. Okay, halfway down the Amar here, the Gemara now says, the Amar Rabba Kiavina Bei Rav Huna. When I was in the house of the base manager of Rav Huna, he asked another question. Ibai Lahu Mahu Lomar Zman Rosh Hashanah. Does one say a bracha of Zman, which is Shechianu Rosh Hashanah Uv Yom Kippur? Which, of course, is an interesting question because you would imagine they know the answer to this, but they're trying to figure out, I guess, why would we mention it? So, what was it, Tzad, to say you wouldn't say Shechianu Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Do we say Kamen de Mizman Lizman Asi? I mean, since it comes every year, it's a new Zman, Higiyah Zman, therefore it warrants a Shechianu. Oh, Duma, perhaps Kamen de Lo Ikre Regalam, Lo Amrinan, since it's not called the Regal, you should not say it. What does it mean it's not called the Regal? So Shlosh Regalam are only Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and this is not a Regal. There's no Mitzvah Lila Regal. Who cares that's not called the Regal? So I think the understanding here is it comes part of a larger discussion, the nature of Shechianu. Does Shechianu come whenever you reach a new Zman, a new milestone, every Zman that comes from time to time you say a Shechianu, or is it come when there's a Simcha? So Regal, we know there's mitzvah of Simcha by Regal. So there's Simcha by Regal, but there's a debate whether there's Simcha in Rosh Hashanah. We discussed this yesterday, that you know, we are allowed to fast in Rosh Hashanah, according to some poskim that say you should fast. So there might not be Simcha in Rosh Hashanah. There's a debate whether you mention the Nusach of Simcha during the Tfil of Rosh Hashanah. So there's a debate whether there's Simcha or not, or how much Simcha there exists by Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So perhaps the Tzad is saying that, do we say Shechianu is about a Nuzman, in which case Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is a Nuzman, or do we say Shechianu comes because when there's a high level of Simcha like Regalim, in which case that it does not exist when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and you should not say a Shechianu. And the Gemara says, Lahava Biyade, they weren't sure exactly what the answer is. So Kiyasa Bei Rav Yehuda, when they got to the house of Yehuda, the base measure of Yehuda, Amar, he says, Ana Akra Chadasa Nami Amrinan Zman. What do you mean? Why wouldn't you say it? I even say it on a new gourd. I would say a Shechianu. So if I could say it on a gourd, which I don't have to say, so certainly you could say it in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Why wouldn't you say Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The type of simcha I have when eating a gourd can't be any greater than experiencing Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So Amalei, Rishis lo kam barle. We didn't ask if you're allowed to. We know you're allowed to say Shechianu if you want to, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Just like you don't have to say Shechianu on a new gourd, but you can. You don't have to buy a new gourd, but you can. So too, we know you can say. We want to know, Kikimi Barle Chova Mai. Is there a requirement? Is there a requirement to say Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So Amar Le Rav, Rabbi Shmuel, Damar Tavaya, both of them hold, Ein Omer Zman El B'Shlosh Regalim. You only say Shechianu by the Shlosh Regalim, where there's a heightened level of Simcha, but not by Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. That's how he says that right now. We'll see at the end, we're going to change, but at least at this stage, there is a Shechianu by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
So, in general, like for Kiddush and like Asneris and everything.
Yeah, across the board, exactly. So the Gemara then says, Meisive, ask the Gemara, quote the Pasuk in, I think it's in Koheles, it says, Tain, give Tain chelek l'shiva, v'gam l'shmona, give a chelek, we'll see on tomorrow's daf, what exactly you were giving, but to give some type of kavod, some honor, some respect, l'shiva, to seven, v'gam l'shmona, and to eight. What does that mean? What's seven? What's eight? So Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Shiva, Elu, Shiva Yimei Breishis, and Shmona, Elu, Shmona, Yimei Mila. So it's a reference to 7 days of creation, the 8 days of Mila. Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Shiva, Elu, is Shiva Yimei Pesach, and Shmona, Elu, Shmona, Yimei Chag. So it's a reference to two of the Shlosh Regalim. Uchshu Omer, when it says the Gam, because it says in the Pasuk, Shiva, the Gam, Lishmona. What's Gam teaching me? Gam is L'Rabos, Atzeres, to include Atzeres, and Rosh Hashanah, V'Yom Kippur. So what's this referring to, the Pasuk describing the Shlosh Regalim plus Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? My love is man is not saying that you should give chelik, give recognition, you should say a shechianu by all these five Yom Tovim, including Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Or it says, lo, lebracha is referring to a bracha, that you say a special bracha of a mekadesh yisrael asmanim, but nothing at all to do with reciting a shechianu. And hachanami mistavr, this is very logical to say this, because dishagadaydech lezman, if you were to say that you have to say, referring to shechianu, zman kol shiva mi'ika, do we say shechianu every single day of Pesach, all 7 days? Certainly not. But do we say it all 8 days of Sukkah? Certainly not. So it must be something that you say every single day, all 7 days, all 8 days, which is the bracha of mekadesh yisrael basmanim and the end of the bracha of Musaf. So Gemara says, so halakash, that's not a problem. Di lo mevarech ha'ina mevarech lamachar ul'yom ochro. What's saying is not that you're supposed to say Shechianu all 7 days of Pesach, all 8 days of Sukkot. What it means is, if you didn't say it on day one, you can make up the next day. If you didn't say it day two, you can make it up any day during the 7 days of Pesach or any days during the 8 days of Sukkot, and therefore it is consistent. It can still be referring to reciting a Shechianu. That any day it's appropriate to say a Shechianu. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Mikomakom bein on kos, even though you're going to say Shechianu, you still need to recite it on a kos. You have to have a kosher bracha in order to say the Shechianu. So lema misaile, so it must be misaile the Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman zman omer afil b'shuk. So must be that maybe you don't need it. The fact that you know the day one, we know day one there's a yontif, you have a kiddush, so it makes sense to say kos. But day two, day three, chol moed, there's no cup there. So it must be that you taka don't need a cup, kosher bracha, in order to say Shechianu, which supports Rav Nachman that says that you could say Zman even if in the middle of the Shuk, which of course we assume there's no kosher bracha in the Shuk, you could say a Shechianu. So the fact that you could say Shechianu all 7 days, or any of the 7 days, or any of the 8 days of Sukkot, implies that the bracha, kosher bracha, is not essential to reciting a Shechianu. And Gemara says, no, hello kasha, that's not a problem. Maybe you could say, dik lele kos, that you have a kos, meaning, you have to say a Shechianu over a kos. How could you say it on the day two, day three? And there's no kiddush. It means only say it when there's a kosher bracha. If you don't have a kosher bracha, don't say it. You don't need kiddush for it, but you still need to say it on yain, so it's not so clear whether or not you need a kosher bracha or not in order to recite a Shechianu. But right now the Gemara suggests that either way, at this stage, if you're going to say Shechianu on day two, day three, make sure there's a kosher bracha to say it with it. No. If you didn't say it yet, you have to say it or not, make it up. So when you make it up, day three, day four, make sure there's a kosher bracha that you're saying it with. So Gemara says, okay, this makes sense. Hatinach, Atzeres, Rosh Hashanah, that those days you could taka have a kosher bracha. You could drink on Shavuos, you could drink on Rosh Hashanah. Yom HaKippurim, Hei Chiyavid. Where's the kosher bracha when it comes to Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim? You can't drink Yom Kippur, of course. Im Evarech, Allah, V'shasei, like, if you're going to say the bracha of Shechianu and then drink it right away, once you say Shechianu, that's a Kabbalah of Yom Kippur, and I'll say that point to drink. One time he says, did you separate? Badilta oftentimes means to separate, not Havdalah here, but the Rashi interprets this to mean is that one time Rashi explains to the Gemara in Brachas about this, that the clouds got very, very dark, and they thought it was already nightfall, and he davened Shabbos early. And then Rav Yirmiyah said to Rav, I know you davened early, but did you already separate yourself from Malacha or not? He says, yes. So once you makabel yourself Shabbos, even though it's not actual Shabbos yet, even though it's not nightfall, that's already Shabbos. So it's just like you say Shechianu for Yom Kippur, that's a Kabbalah of Yom Kippur, and you can't drink at that point. Either way, back to the Gemara. Amalei in Bedilna. So I already mavdi myself in the Malacha. So Livrach Allah, V'lanchei. So the Gemara then says, okay, what you could do is for Yom Kippur, say a bracha, and leave it, don't drink it, just leave it over here, say a bracha Shechianu, and leave the kos empty. Who says you have to drink it? So the Gemara says we have a din.
You don't say agafen, you just say...
Unclear at this stage what to do right now, unclear whether you say agafen or not. So then the Gemara says, hamevarech Tach shitam. No, if you're saying a bracha of a guffin, so seemingly at this point it sounds like you would say a guffin. It would sound like if you say a bracha, you must taste it. You can't say a bracha brichas anenin without having to taste it. So the Gemara says, no, no problem. Lisve lianuka. Give that to a child to drink it. You don't have to drink it, but the child could drink it, and the child doesn't have to fast the Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Les hilchasa ki Rav Acha. Do you not hold the Rav Acha? Dilma asa le misrach. Perhaps you're going to come follow what if the child is drinking Yom Kippur when he's 11, he's going to start drinking when he's 15. We want to not trick him at all. We want him to get used to and teach him proper chenech, and therefore you should not give it to a child. Fine, that's the debate. So there's a number of interesting things here to talk about, actually. So many different important points here in Halacha. Let's start first with a Rashi here. Rashi, Leisvei Liyinuka, giving it to a child. So Rashi, is that the one I wanted? Yeah. So Rashi is give it to the drink to the child. Lishto, so let the child drink it. After he makes the bracha. The high she yitom the kamar lav davka kamar hamivarech duadin kishas yachrina. Lav davka the mivarech has to drink it. You could say a bracha and give it to someone else to drink. The time of mishum the genai hu lakosha bracha shlo yehane adam mimenu laalter she tebirchas yain the brayper gafin shlo letzarech. Why do you drink from the kosher bracha? Not that you have to. It's just a ganai. It's a ganai to have a kosher bracha and nobody drink from it. So Rashi says it's not essential that you drink from it. It's just because of cover purposes or ganai purposes. But that's really, it's not because you actually have to drink it. So there is actually an opinion of the chinuch. The chinuch actually says you do have to drink it. It's fundamental to drink it. It's not simply to protect the cover of the kosher bracha. There's an idea that when you drink kosher bracha, it actually, it's a me'ora person. It gives a person a certain level of energy and inspiration and ruchnias of some sort. So the chinuch says there's a fundamental reason why you're drinking it, not just for a ganai. There is actually another opinion that says the drinking is not important at all. No, I'm sorry, the different opinion, I forget that point for right now. Either way, there's a machlokas, whether you have to drink it fundamentally, or some have to drink it just to show that there's no genai involved here. Another point before we go weiter, if you look at Tosos here, Diba Maskel Dilma Asa Lemisrach, that you don't give a child to drink on Yom Kippur, because he might get older and drink also when he's over Bar Mitzvah. Tosos writes, Omer Rabbeinu Shmuel Davka Gavizman Shukavua Chashinin. Only if it's something that happens reoccurring, like every year Yom Kippur, are we concerned Dilma Asa Lemisrach, it might train him that every year Yom Kippur, oh, he's the, he's the Shabbos guy, if you will, who drinks every Yom Kippur the wine. When he gets Bar Mitzvah, he's been doing the past 7 years, who knows what he's going to do at 13? But it's a kavua thing, that's when we're concerned. Let's say if Bris Mila falls out on Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur, it's not an annual occurrence. It happens once in a while, and we give a child to drink from the kosher bracha. Lo chashin, we're not concerned. Dilma asa lemisrach. Umaisa yabba chupa basar b'tevis nitnu akos letinuk lishos. And then once a maisa happened, and there was a chupa that took place on the Aser B'Tevis. Imagine they got married on the Aser B'Tevis. There was no meal they couldn't eat and drink until tzeis. But at the end of the day, they had to say a bracha on the Kedushin and the Nisuin. They gave a child to drink. That's a cry ba'alma. So whenever it's a cry ba'alma, you're allowed to. But only when it's a regular, annual thing is there a concern, asay lemisra. Either way, back to our Gemara. So Gemara says, my havale, what's the bottom line? How do we paskin here with regards to the Shechianu? So Gemara says, Shadu Rabbanan le Rav Yemar. They sent a message to Rav Yemar, Saba, Kamid Rav Chista, B'mali Yoma, the Reshit Shasta, Erev Rosh Hashanah, which Mamish today, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Amrulay, they said to him, Zil Chazi Heichi Avid Uvda. Go watch what he's doing on Rosh Hashanah to see, observe what he's doing, to see whether he says Shechianu or not. And Ta Emelon, Ki Chazi, and come tell to report back as what you saw. So Amrulay, so Ki Chazi, when the Rav Yemar Saba, so the Rabbanan come in front of him. He says to them, "Deluya l'retiva rafsale beduchte." When a person picks up a wet piece of wood, he needs the place. In other words, wet wood isn't good for burning fire. It's wet. So obviously he picks it up, not for the fire, because he needs the space. So obviously you came here for a reason. Why are you guys coming to my house? What's your business doing here? So he says to them, "Aisile kasa de chamra." They brought him a kos of wine. Kaddish, he said the kiddush. V'amar Zman, he said Shechianu as well. This was all Rosh Hashanah. V'hilchasa, and v'paskin l'halach l'maisa. We'll be doing this tonight, Mirtz Hashem. Omer Zman Rosh Hashanah, uv'yom ha-kippurim, v'hilchasa Zman, omru afil b'shuk. And therefore, you could say, v'paskin, there's a Zman, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and you could even say it in the shuk, even without there being a kosher bracha, in other words. So Yom Kippur, we have no shayla, because you don't need a kosher bracha, and therefore there's no issue of who to give the bracha to. That's why we're passing the bottom line. Another interesting point that comes out from this is, so now we see Paskin that there is a Shechianu and Rosh Hashanah. There becomes a very interesting debate. What about second night of Rosh Hashanah? Is there Shechianu? We know on Yontif Sheni, Shagal Yosef certainly is a Shechianu because we're not sure which is the right day. It took either yesterday or today. We have to repeat everything we did on day one, on day two, because it's a Safek, it's Shtei Kedushos. But Rosh Hashanah, some say Rosh Hashanah is also Shtei Kedushos. So you should do everything on day two as you did day one, and you should write a side of Shechianu. But others say Rosh Hashanah is different. Rosh Hashanah may not be a Safek, because even in Eretz Yisrael, we know that they keep 2 days, which means there's no suffering in Eretz Yisrael, but they keep it as a din. Din Chachamim becomes a Kedusha Achas and Yom Ha'Richta. So once you've said Shechianu on day one, that should carry over for the entire 48-hour period, and therefore there shouldn't be a Shechianu on day two. So that's a debate in the Rishonim. The Rush suggests, therefore, in order to avoid the debate, that's why you have a new fruit or a new suit in order to cover us for the second night in case there shouldn't be a Shechianu on the second night. It's covering your new suit or your new fruit. With that, wish everyone a ksiva, a chesimatova, and a good gebenshir.